It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday, June 25th, 2023. Forbidden Door, AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, is currently live. Yours truly is not watching it live. I will watch the replay, absolutely. I'm just going to be straight out and honest. I'm not a big follower of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I know some of these wrestlers are legendary. I've watched them off and on over the years. But, you know, their ratings in the United States are still around 50,000 viewers. There's been no growth over the last year and a half. And yes, you know, they put on top quality performances. But if you notice, there's a lot of people out there that won't cover Impact Wrestling, won't watch Impact Wrestling, won't watch MLW, won't watch GCW, won't watch Women of Wrestling, won't watch others. But if you don't watch New Japan because they're wrestling AEW wrestlers, you're not a wrestling fan. There's something wrong with you. Or you're pro WWE and anti AEW. It's ridiculous. I'm not spending $60. I'm not going to spend 5 hours. There's 14 matches announced. And yes, Adam Cole, I did hear, was unable to compete tonight. They said an illness. You know, I have a feeling it might be a little bit more than that. You know, with his recent health issues, they don't want to take any chances. But, you know, if you got a little bit of a cold or something, you know, most people will work through it. Yes, COVID is still not 100% gone. And, you know, look, you get a fever, you got to be a little careful sometimes. I'd rather them play safe, keep Adam Cole off the card than, you know, take a chance of, you know, just him getting sicker, you know. 2023, this is not what it, you know, the days of yesteryear. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, there's a lot more about wellness today, which is the right way to go. But I want to thank everybody who is live tonight, whether you are watching Forbidden Door in the background or maybe you're just not interested in checking it out. This is The Sit Down. And the format for this show is pretty simple. I sit here and whatever you want to talk about, that's what we talk about. If you're live in the chat, you could submit a question, which I will be more than happy to share and answer with everyone. If you have a comment you want me to share, absolutely. Super chats are not required, but they are appreciated. They definitely help with the expenses. And we'll always get VIP treatment. And, you know, something that I totally forgot up until yesterday. This is the last Sunday of every month. And we started this idea that the last Sunday of every month, we do a non-wrestling show. But with Forbidden Door this weekend and Money in the Bank next week and everything going on, you know, yes, we are going to talk wrestling today. We could do whatever we want. So that's the deal. And as I'm looking, I see three super chats came in before we went live. So I will address those first, if you don't mind. Rizzo is in the house. Rizzo, he's with me, DT. Just can't get into New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's the sit down for him tonight. Thank you very much for the 10 spot, my friend. Yeah, look, it's not anti-AEW and it's not anti-New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's just, I'm not interested in a lot of these guys. I mean, you know, when Sting and Darby Allin revealed yesterday, it was Tomohiro Ishii. I know he's going to have a good match. I know him and, you know, Jericho, because of, you know, their little interactions a couple of years ago. I know they're going to have a lot of fun. Minoru Suzuki and him are going to go at it. But I'm not a, I don't watch Tomohiro Ishii. I don't care. It's not being rude. It's not being a wrestling fan. It's just not interested. I don't watch it. I will keep up to date, and I will cover things if something is obviously pertinent. But I'm not interested. I'm not going to cover it. I mean, I will give you my overall thoughts next week. I will tell you if anybody is contemplating if they should order it next week, and maybe they didn't order it live. I'll tell you my honest opinion. But no, I mean, you know, I wasn't going to watch it tonight. Just not interested. And I've been watching wrestling since 79. So, you know, I've had my fill of wrestling. And, you know, when you see everything, you know, sometimes you be a little bit more selective of what you want to watch. But, hey, understand this. I know there's some people on social media that'll make you feel small because you're not interested in watching Forbidden Door. You are a wrestling fan. Whether you like AEW or you don't, whether you like WWE or you don't, whether you hate everything, if you watch wrestling, you watch what you want to watch. I'm a fan of music. Do I have to listen to hip-hop? Do I have to listen to rock? Do I have to listen to country? No, I listen to what I enjoy. That doesn't make me less of a music fan. You know, movies. I don't like horror movies anymore. You know, I can't stand those Fast and Furious crap. It doesn't mean I'm not a movie buff. So you watch what you want to watch. And anybody that makes you feel small because you're not watching something that they tell you is epic, amazing, unbelievable, you know, stop the presses. This is just, you know, the hair on my arms are sticking up. Good for them. And I don't even mean that sarcastic. Good for them. That's cool that you have something that makes you look forward to that much in wrestling. That's awesome. But don't make others feel like shit because they're not watching what you like to watch. And I'm not saying that to you, Rizzo. I'm just saying just in a generalistic sense. Thank you for that. Mikey Ravello. Thank you, Mikey, for the five spot. Did I hear about BJ Whipner? The details that I got a few weeks ago ended up being true. Am I surprised he's not being charged with attempted murder? I did not hear the update about BJ Whipner, but I will, as soon as this show is over, I'm going to check it out. I'll probably talk about it on Monday's show. For those that don't know, BJ Whipner was working in the behind the scenes in AEW, former Ring of Honor star. I mean, his name is very well known here in the Northeast. And he got arrested a couple of weeks ago for burglary and assault. And I think it was the 13th of June. Kev and I did an episode of the Don Tony Kevin Castle show. And I have a few friends that work with it behind the scenes in AEW. And believe me, I'm not the only person. And I asked around, I'm like, you know, what happened? What did you hear? And Kev and I talked about it that night. The word going around was that he had a bad breakup and he showed up at his girl's house and she didn't let him in and he forced himself in and he basically tried to strangle her. And that's apparently based on what Mikey's saying. I guess the info came out. I don't know if a police report came out or something with the court system. But, yeah, that's what the word was going around, a bad breakup and, you know, forced himself in the girl's house and, you know, strangled her. You know, didn't kill her, thank God. But am I surprised that he's not being charged with attempted murder? I got to see the update. I got to see exactly what he did. You know, I mean, you put your hands around somebody's neck, of course, you know, that's fucked up. You know, but if it was for a second or two and she broke free and called the cops, then I would say no. I mean, that's probably more assault. But if he was strangling her to the point that, her, you know, she physically was, you know, something, you know, more affected, you know, that he was trying to kill her, you know, yeah, then he should be charged with attempted murder. But I'll get all the details. I'm really curious. It's sad to see something like that happen. I will say this, though, and I kind of brought this up a few weeks ago, but now I'm kind of fearing that it'll happen again. I don't know if you all notice this, but if you notice on a lot of wrestling news sites, they will sometimes write 15 words about something that could be written in five. Like for WWE, let's say WWE announced the signing of, they'll actually write World Wrestling Entertainment, parentheses, WWE, you know, and they'll write it out because they want every possible search term to show up with their result. And what I noticed a couple of weeks ago, which I did not like, was AEW producer arrested for, for whatever the charges were for BJ Whitner. And look, if you want to report that he got fired from AEW, yes. But what I'm fearing now is, whatever this update is, you'll see these websites, instead of just saying update on BJ Whitner, update on AEW producer recently arrested for, AEW has nothing to do with it. You know, stop doing that as a search term, as clickbait. Like, oh my God, somebody in AEW. We know by now. He's fired, you know. But, that's just something I never really digged. But, I'll definitely check that out. Roddy C with the 10 spot. Any truth to the reports that Triple H and Nick Khan were not happy with Vince McMahon's changes to SmackDown? And I'm looking forward to Tuesday's DTKC show. Thank you, DT. Thank you, Ronnie. Honestly, guys, I'll answer it like this. Who do you think in the wrestling news site has direct connections to Triple H or Nick Khan? Was Nick Khan at SmackDown? Even if any journalists out there are friends with wrestlers that were at SmackDown, what are the chances that anyone got firsthand information from Nick Khan that Nick Khan was not happy about Vince McMahon's changes to SmackDown? Did Nick Khan, tell people, why did Vince scrap Bayley's match? I mean, take a step back and think about it. Why would Nick Khan give a flying fuck about Vince McMahon making changes to SmackDown? SmackDown wasn't a bad show. Wasn't one of the more memorable shows, but it wasn't a bad show. You know, I think the reason why people are putting that out there is because they despise Vince McMahon and they want to paint this picture that even Triple H and Nick Khan are not happy with Vince McMahon. The fucking company is sold. There's a merger and acquisition happening in a couple of months. They could say whatever the fuck they want about Vince and Nick Khan and Triple H. At the end of the day, it's TKO Incorporated. So, honestly, I don't buy that at all. I don't buy it at all. You know, you just take a step back and use a little bit of common sense, and I think you could figure it out. Like, who really got firsthand connections with Triple H and Nick? If you want to just say Triple H wasn't thrilled because Vince overrode him on a few things, that's fine. The minute they put Nick Khan in that article, that's when you know it's beyond bullshit. Seriously, Nick Khan is going to be upset. Why? Why? The early rating apparently is good. Why? Why? The crowd was lively. Why? There's no reason why. There's none. So, could be wrong. Usually not. But thank you for that, Ronnie. Okie dokie. Okie dokie. Let's go to the chat room and let's talk a little bit. All right. Austin Nance. Thank you, Austin, for holding down the ship as always, along with Chaos. I know Chaos is enjoying some Forbidden Door tonight, so rightfully so. DT, can I clear up word going around that Vince scrapped some of last week's SmackDown matches? No, he did. Apparently he did. But as I talked about yesterday morning, some of it was a good idea. We joked about it last week. Bayley having her Money in the Bank spot on the line against Shotzi, okay, I'm fine with that. The minute that Io Sky was the one to go to Shotzi and go, storylines are supposed to be lighthearted. You know, you watch AEW, you see Papa Briscoe taking down Jay Lethal and Sonjay Dutt and Jeff Jarrett. You know, it's suspension of disbelief. It's lighthearted, it's fun, whatever. You know, but just imagine in storyline, you know, the further part of it, Shotzi going up to Adam Pearce. Adam, you got to book the match. Bayley versus me with a Money in the Bank spot on the line. Oh, really? What happened? Io Sky said that I could have the match. Oh, well, if Io Sky said it, then yeah, you got your match. It's stupid. I mean, wrestling is supposed to be stupid at times. That's brain dead stupid. That's high stupid. That's, dude, what if Io Sky, because she's having a falling out with Bayley? Dude, what if she puts a Bayley spot on the line and Bayley loses a spot? Dude, how awesome would that be? There were some things that were stupid. See, here's the thing. LA Knight was supposed to take on Butch and Santos Escobar in a three-way. Personally, LA Knight beating a WWE Hall of Famer clean on SmackDown, it's 10 times better than him pinning Butch or him pinning Santos Escobar in a three-way. So some of the changes are good. I don't know what the other changes are. But the idea that Vince made a couple of changes, you know, just because, listen, I'm not this gigantic, huge Vince McMahon fan. I mean, I'm very grateful. You know, I've said this many times, outside of my brother and my father, that man has been in my life the third longest, you know, since I'm alive, entertaining me with wrestling since, you know, since 1979. I'm ever grateful. The bond that I have with my grandmother over wrestling and being able to do this now, I'm very much appreciative of what he has provided as far as entertainment and the platform where wrestling could get as big as it did. Yeah, I wouldn't want him as my dad. I think he's a pig. I think he is an awful husband. But, you know, every time he puts his hand on something doesn't mean that it's shit. And, you know, I see these people online. I think they're angrier if Vince changes the script than if you kick their dog. I honestly think for some of these people, they're angrier if Vince McMahon changes Raw or SmackDown than if you poured rubbing alcohol in their fish tank. I mean, it's just weird. It's on a weird level. I mean, I get it. There's hundreds of people online that are just as angry, and because you posted, hey, look, a whole bunch of people are angry with me, you know, go jump off a bridge. I don't mean that literally, but have a Snickers bar. Go watch something else. Today, I should clear this up. On Twitter earlier today, I posted a picture of a hand touching grass. Remember recently where CM Punk told Brian Alvarez, go touch grass? The reason why I posted that on Twitter today is because today I went to a barbecue. I went to a barbecue and saw some friends that I have not seen in probably about 15 years. And some of my other friends as well. We had this big barbecue, hanging outside, listening to music, eating, you know, having some drinks, just chilling, beautiful weather. And I'm like thinking about it, and some people got teary-eyed, like, wow, you know, we got to do this more often. You know, and I posted the grass thing because I went out today, spending time with friends, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And it depressed me, too, because we were listening to the radio earlier, and somebody pointed out that Prince and Purple Rain, we're approaching the 40th anniversary of that album. I went to the concerts. Some of the music, you know, I was a Prince fan since 79 when he had the, you know, Chico and the Man Puerto Rican haircut, if you know what I'm talking about. And he had still like loads of hair all over his body. But it's, you know, like we heard that today and we're like, 40 years? I mean, I remember going to the concert and Epic Unbelievable, Sheila E. and The Time and everything. I'm like, 40 years ago. Some of you are in your teens. And I'm saying to myself, my God, they weren't even born till 20 years later. But that's why I posted the picture online earlier. It's a little thing like, you know what? Sometimes go out, have a good time, get outside, spend it with friends, family. You know, so that was part of my day today. So what's going on so far with Forbidden Door? Apparently CM Punk versus Kojima, Satoshi Kojima, is about to begin. So curious, because some people who are live are watching Forbidden Door, and that is awesome. Bobby Means is in the house. DT, when it comes to WWE's TV rights, who do I think gets the rights in the end? Do I see WWE being on a platform like Apple? No, I see it staying with USA Network and Fox. I see it staying where it is. Personally, yes. See, I remember when they went to TNT, Spike TV. TNT, no, not TNT. What am I saying? Holy shit, I just drew a blank. Blah, 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 blah. We got pop. What was the net? Oh, TNN. I knew it was close. TNN. Spike TV, TNN. And it was a little awkward, them going to TNN from the USA Network. Within a couple of weeks, we were used to it. I don't see them going on a streaming platform. The future is those streaming services. Absolutely. That's the future. But as far as advertising revenue, that in itself, number one, is why I don't expect that to happen. USA Network and Fox are the front runners. I know people online want to bait you to think that, you know, TNT, Warner Media might be get a deal, or Apple or Disney or Amazon. I mean, unless they're going to grossly overpay, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. They're going to stay where they are. I mean, it's always possible they could go to another network, but a streaming platform? No, no. I could see premium live events possibly going to a different service once the deal with Paramount is up. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I used to watch the WWE Network. Some of my favorite areas to watch was WWE Old School. Remember WWE Network? Welcome to WWE Old School. You would hear Howard Finkel. When they switched to Peacock, I never watched it. I've never watched any retro shit ever again. The Monday Night Wars, old episodes of Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, WCW stuff. Haven't watched any retro shit on that channel since. So I could see the premium live events being renegotiated with another service. Because I'm not very thrilled with Peacock. The only thing good about Peacock is they do offer you a very inexpensive price. You get it around Black Friday, you could get Peacock for 99 cents a month. How do you beat that? Think about this. Forbidden Door today would have been $60. You could, if you get it on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you could get Peacock for a whole year at 99 cents a month. Think about $60 for one pay-per-view compared to 99 cents for WrestleMania. I mean, how do you beat that? So, yeah, it's annoying with some commercials. I get the service without the commercials. I pay a little bit extra. But, you know, if you really can't afford it, I mean, think about this, man. Before they went to the WWE Network and the streaming services, which are not that long ago, think about paying $50 a month, on average, $50 a month for a pay-per-view. That's $600 a year. $600. Now you could get it for $108. Well, no, what am I saying? If you pay 99 cents a month, if you get lucky and get that deal, it's $12. You could watch WWE for the next 40 years and still, well, you'd have to get that deal every year. You'd have to sign up with a different email and get the offer, and hopefully Peacock offers it every year. But even if you pay $10 a month, you're paying $120 a year compared to $600 a while ago. How do you beat that? You can't. You can't. So, Tristan Sloan, what is my favorite Austin McMahon moment? My favorite Austin McMahon moment, the match was good. I still remember when Vince came out jacked. The rating was insane when he came out jacked. I mean, we all knew he was jacked, but when he came out all oiled up and everything, probably the higher power, probably the higher power, because if you checked out the History Show recently, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, if you remember that night with the higher power revealed, there was a whole chain of events going on. Wasn't that on 316 day? It might have even been on 316 day. But that was fun. It was me, Austin. It was me all along. The first stunner was hilarious. You know, I appreciate the fact that the World Wrestling Federation cares. You know, I appreciate the fact that you're a jackass, and he stuns him. And Vince, I have to take my glasses and my hat off for this. Vince is laying in the mat going like this. And he's got his eyes open. Vince, that was the early days of the stunner. There were some good moments when Vince and Austin and Kurt Angle were in the back. And, you know, they were competing, Kurt Angle and Steve Austin. Those are my favorites. Kevin Milwaukee's in the house. Kevin! Samoa Joe wrestles with his belly out there. Why over half a decade have Baron Corbin and Kevin Owens not lost the T-shirt? Who'd lost the shirt first out of the two? Baron Corbin would have dropped the shirt first. Honestly, it's like Joe Gacy. I don't like Joe Gacy without a shirt on. I mean, Joe Gacy has dropped some weight. And Joe Gacy, it's a mental challenge as well. You know, Joe Gacy put it out there, and Joe Gacy now, see, you know, it's the best way I can answer your question. I invite all of you to do this. Go on Karrion Kross's Twitter today. Karrion Kross shows three pictures in recent years, maybe in the last year, year and a half, of his body. And you look at him in NXT, and then you look at him, you know, when he first came out, you look at him now, it's mind-boggling how much his body has changed. And he talks about keto and carnivore. Told you guys last week, when we had that conversation last week about some wrestlers on keto and carnivore, I knew that he was on it. There's a few people that are on it. I think CM Punk is on it to a degree. I'm on keto right now, and believe it or not, I already dropped 6 pounds in the last 2 weeks, and I feel it right here. I feel it right here. It's weird, but that's the first thing that starts to change is your face. I wish it would change here. By the way, I had the show. Somebody recently was like, DT, why do you wear the same fucking shirt every day? Here's one. Here's another. And I have one in a wash. I have three of the same shirt. I didn't get sick of wearing wrestling shirts, but, you know, since everybody knows, you know, like, plus, you know, the DT, the family, Don Tony, Howard Beach, John Gotti, you know, the whole character, you know, where I live, what I used to do, where I hang out, you know, the shirts, the Italian stuff kind of fits, you know, with me. So wearing a wrestling shirt's a cool and everything, but, you know, I like wearing, like, even this shirt. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? You know, so that's, I wanted to show that because some people really thought that I wore the same shirt every day. If I wear it for only an hour and a half and I take the shirt off, yeah, I might actually throw a dryer sheet and wear it the next day. I mean, unless it's baking in here and it smells like armpits. But to answer your question, you look at Karrion Kross. It's unbelievable. With Joe Gacy took the shirt off, and now there's a mental challenge to get himself in better shape, to make it seem like him wearing no shirt, you know, is fitting. For me, though, Joe Gacy, his character looks better with a shirt on. Just like Tommy Dreamer, always wearing a shirt back in the day. Tommy Dreamer had big tits, man. He didn't have baloney tits, but if you ever see Tommy Dreamer, and there's no knock on Tommy Dreamer, I should talk, but if you ever see Tommy Dreamer shirtless back in the early 90s or the mid-90s, his chest looked a little strange. Like, he had, like, big knockers, but they weren't, like, bulging out. They were just like this. I know his chest always looked a little strange, but him without a shirt on wouldn't look right. Raven was in great shape. Raven look better wrestling with a shirt on. Some wrestlers just look better with a shirt on. Samoa Joe, you know, Samoa Joe's physique has been similar for a very, very, very long time. I don't have an issue with Samoa Joe's weight unless it looks like he's not moving around well in the ring. If his weight becomes a hindrance, then it's an issue. But I don't have any issue with Samoa Joe wrestling without a shirt on. Good for him, man. I would never wear it. I don't even go to the beach without a shirt on. You know, like, if I go in the pool, I'll take the shirt off. I mean, I'm not, like, morbidly obese. You know, I mean, if I was really, really fat, believe me, the hand would be all distorted. I look like Andre the Giant hands. But I have weight to lose, but. Michael Gonzalez, who, in my opinion, had the best Money in the Bank cash-in. I don't know. I always liked Dolph Ziggler's. I mean, there's been some great ones. Liv Morgan's was fun. Because I like Liv Morgan. And I don't mean that. I mean, she's attractive. Don't get me wrong. But I like Liv Morgan. I root for her. You could tell that she truly, truly. I'm really curious to see where Liv Morgan's status is in wrestling 10 years from now. I'm really, really curious. You know, I'm not comparing it to Trish Stratus. Not at all. But Trish Stratus, it was very interesting with Trish 5 years into her WWE career. When she came out there with Teston Albert, wearing the cowboy hat, and she had the big overcoat on, she was more eye candy, and you knew that she was into sports. But you also knew that she was a fitness model. I could guarantee you, because I lived through it, none of us ever thought in a million years Trish Stratus would be looked back at and revered as one of the greatest women wrestlers of this generation. Did she have 5-star matches? No. Did she have 4-star matches? Maybe 2. You know what I mean? Like, but she just got bit by the bug and she went all in. And fans appreciated that. I'm really curious to see where Liv Morgan is on the scale 10 years from now. But Dolph Ziggler's, I always liked. I mean, I've liked a lot. Seth Rollins was great. Dolph Ziggler, though, you go back and look at that pop. I mean, did we say at that time, Dolph Ziggler, heavyweight champion? I mean, we were kind of like, okay, but the moment was so cool. Nobody really complained about it. I mean, look at that crowd. It's kind of mind-boggling to see how bonkers that crowd went that night. And you know what was cool about that night, too? Big E's reaction and AJ Lee's reaction. That was cool also. Very, very cool. Left Twix. Will WWE ever bring in Tessa Blanchard? If not, why? I don't want to say never, because unlike AEW, a lot of wrestling promotions do have wrestlers that don't like each other but work for the same company. We had that conversation yesterday. You go back to the 70s. Imagine if, you know, the Coach Kirk hotline, if he was around at that time, reported that, you know, wrestlers in the WWF went home in a bad mood because superstar Billy Graham was there. Imagine, you know, like the old magazines or even the early days of the newsletter that a top WWE star went home in a bad mood because Hulk Hogan returned or Shawn Michaels was there or a wrestler on Nitro went home in a bad mood. People would be like, what pussy, pardon my language, what pussy would go to a journalist and say to the journalist, yeah, man, CM Punk, I went home in a bad mood. Like, you turned in your man card, in my opinion. It's just ridiculous. So, I don't know, man. I just feel, you know, Tessa Blanchard, I don't hear awful things about her anymore. Do I think she really said what she said to La Rosa Negra? Yeah, I do. Because even if La Rosa Negra don't speak English at the time, That sounded more Japanese than anything else. Still, you know when someone is saying something awful to you. You know, so I personally think that Tessa Blanchard probably said what she said. But in the overall scope of things, nobody has ever... I mean, at the time, other women wrestlers came up and said, you were nasty in the locker room, you were nasty to this person, you were nasty. Yeah, some people are an asshole in wrestling. But as she matures and gets older and grows, you know, you do mature a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, she's talented. Why wouldn't you bring her in? I mean, if there's something really awful that's still going on with her, then no, you don't. But honestly, you know, I mean, if she didn't say it, because this is the argument that still goes on today. You know, Tessa Blanchard, just apologize and move on. What if she didn't say it? I mean, think, let that sink in for a minute. What if she really didn't say it? And La Rosa Negra heard something and, you know, misinterpreted it. You don't want the rest of your career and the rest of your life to be on record that you apologized for saying something you didn't say. I sure wouldn't. You know, back in the day, because of some of the stories I've told you with some of the wrestlers I've interacted with and had good relationships with, the New Jack stuff, you know, there was a couple of assholes out there that were trying to convince New Jack that I was calling him the N-word. Never use the N-word on the shows. Never. And people were doing that, you know, simply because of jealousy, because they didn't just like the fact that I was actually friendly with this guy. But, you know, the point is that, you know, I wasn't going to apologize for something that I never said. I told him, you know, even recently with Conan, there's a couple of assholes still to this day that send in questions for Conan's show and claim that I said this or said this, I said this, because there, for some reason, there's a weird jealousy that I helped the guy years ago. You know, and I had a conversation with Conan, and he knows that people are doing that just to stir shit up. So, you know, you don't apologize for something you didn't say. You know, you just, if you didn't say it and it's in your heart that you don't say that, only time will prove that. Gruss says there's a lot of people in jail for crimes they never did, but Tessa Blanchard did not commit a crime. You know, there's a big difference there. Yeah, it's one has nothing to do with the other. I mean, it sucks. You know, people get wrongfully convicted. People get accused of things that they never did. You know, unfortunately, shit's going to happen. But, you know, she didn't commit a crime. She shouldn't be banished either. The XPW stuff kind of baffled me. When I heard that she was booked for XPW, I thought that was a little odd. Carmelo Falcone. What's up, Carmelo? Hi, DT. I know you're no longer with Pro Wrestling TV. I had no idea that streaming app existed. Do I know of any good free apps? Pro Wrestling TV, listen, those guys are good guys, man. Business-wise, yeah, there was a big issue that happened. Myself and JD from New York, we had a little bit of an issue with them. Business didn't work out the way that it was supposed to. But, you know, the reason why we held no angst against them, because they were brand new. I mean, I take pride. JD and I take pride that we were the only two wrestling podcasts that were on that network. And I take pride that for 6 weeks, they had Control Your Narrative, they had Mexico, they had all this shit on their channel. And my show was the number one viewed show on the whole network. And that was awesome. But obviously, they were investing in promotions, and that's really where they wanted to go with. They're excellent. They're good guys. I support them. And the door is open. Could go back to them in the future. You know, I've had a couple of opportunities to go to a streaming service. I could do it right now, even though I'm with Blue Wire. That's the audio side of things. If a network, you know, gave me, you know, good opportunity, yeah, I would do it. As far as free ones out there, not really. I mean, Pro Wrestling TV is a good one. I will tell you this. There's a couple of underground wrestling channels on Roku. You have to Google it. I don't have any offhand. I know I have some old Roku channels that have a lot of old school wrestling on it. It does stream commercials here and there. That's the reason why they exist. They don't exist simply because they love wrestling. They obviously got to make some money off of it. But I would Google it. You'll definitely find a few out there. Just be prepared for commercials. You know, here on when I the video side of things that I do, you know, I try to spread out the commercials every 20 to 30 minutes. Some of these channels, you'll get commercials every 5 minutes. And sometimes you get 7 commercials. And I think that happens even with regular movie channels. There's some Roku channels I downloaded from my mom, some free channels so she could watch because she likes watching movies from like the 40s and the 50s. My mom was born in 48. And she watches these black and white movies and I'm sitting there with her. And there's like 7 commercials that pop up like every 10 minutes. I would go nuts for it. My mom, she just sits there and watches it anyway. So be prepared. Something is free. You're probably going to get inundated with commercials, especially since they pay almost nothing. They pay almost nothing. Will Rally Sport, Rally 1, got it right. Question DT. He noticed there's a lot of upcoming young women wrestlers, all under 20 years old, like Sky Blue, Thea Hale, Julia Hart, Billy Starks. Great for women's wrestling. My thoughts. I have nothing against Sky Blue. But honestly, I watched her run in to make the save for Willow yesterday. And, you know, it wasn't horrendous, but the way she entered the ring, she's small in stature, first of all. Second of all, a lot of the moves that she does, every woman does. So AJ Lee, when AJ Lee first came to WWE, it was hard for me to suspend this belief that AJ Lee could beat the shit out of anybody because she was so small. Within 1 or 2 matches, I was sold. Because of the moves that she was doing, I guarantee if she put them on me, they would have hurt. You know, if she put them on for real. My point is, Sky Blue, she seems like a nice girl. She's committed for pro wrestling, which is awesome. But I think that they're making a calculated mistake right now, thinking that you could put her right into limelight status. She's still young. And there's no reason to rush her. And yesterday, on a broad scale like that, you know, it's put it this way. When she hit the ring and struggled to get in the ring with the chair, suspension of disbelief. If I'm Toni Storm, the women's champion, and I'm Saraya, who's one of the top women wrestlers in the last 10 years, and Ruby Soho, which is one of the top wrestlers of today, I would be laughing my ass off at this little rinky-dink hitting the ring that couldn't even get run in the ring fast enough with the chair. I would have been like, and plus, this is not a shit on Sky Blue, but I'm just making a point. Did you see Sky Blue hit the rope with the chair? It looked like when Hulk Hogan used to hit chair shots. You ever see the videos that show up on YouTube? Hulk Hogan hitting a chair. I'm not going to hit my microphone. Pretend this is a chair. This is Hulk Hogan hitting someone with a chair. Sky Blue hit the rope yesterday. Like this. I'm like, oh, that's intimidating. First of all, you don't hit the fucking rope. Because if you hit the rope too hard, this is what happens. Side view. She thought she was intimidating. And it looked cute, and it shouldn't look cute. So, Thea Hale, I don't like Thea Hale fighting for the NXT Women's Championship this soon. I'm a huge fan of Thea Hale. I love her, that she's a spitfire, and she's committed to wrestling. But, no. If you want to do it for one night, You have a one night only. You know, Battle Royal, winner of the match, gets a title match at the end of the night. One and done. One night and over with, fine. Hyping it up for 3 weeks? Overblown. So, these women, yeah, in a couple of years, they may put it all together and then, you know, but it's got to happen organically. Sky Blue doesn't feel organic. Thea Hale somewhat feels organic, but in the end, no, too soon. Too soon, in my opinion. Tristan, I don't have any favorite WWE DVDs right now because I have not watched a DVD in ages, but some of the one, Rise and Fall of ECW. I don't even, was that the title of it? The AWA one was great. The Spectacular or something of the AWA. I like the wrestling biographies. They were all great. The Dusty Rhodes one, the Superstar Billy Graham, even the CM Punk one to an extent. I mean, there were some really, really good ones, but I haven't put a DVD in ages, so nothing really comes to mind. All right. Where are we at? 45 minutes? All right, we still got some time. We still have some time. MJ, just wondering, why has Kev never wanted to do video? Does he just not want to show his face? Always liked the show. I don't know. You'd have to ask him. You'd have to ask him. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I wanted to do video 10 years ago. I always felt, you know, first of all, still 85 to 90% of my audience is audio only. I mean, YouTube, the numbers on video is 1/10 of what the audio numbers are. And that'll always be that way. I'm an audio podcaster. I mean, the reason why I do video is if I'm talking about something, you know, let me say it like this. When I do Raw and SmackDown and we do recaps and I put 40, 50 pictures on while we're talking, I do that because, you know, to break up the monotony of just seeing my fat face for an hour and a half. You know, if we're talking about something that happened on TV, Liv Morgan made a return. I'll show a little clip of it. For the people on audio only, they don't need to see the clips because they watch SmackDown. They know what I'm talking about. If I'm talking about a news story and I want to show a clip of something, then I'll show it. But in the end, I'm an audio show. You know, I like the video also because of the chat. You know, we used to have, you know, live chats with, I can't remember the streaming services we used to do. But, you know, YouTube has a live chat interface, which is a lot of fun. Plus, you know, the fact that people could send in, you know, contributions, you know, for the show, that's big. I can't afford to do these shows, you know, on the, you know, out of pocket anymore. You know, there's got to be some revenue coming in, and commercial ads are nothing here. You do a show and you'll get 5,000 viewers and you'll look and you made $6. So it's not a money-making machine. When AdGate happened many years ago, that's when TV Tracks went out of business and a lot of others. And plus, I always felt if you see my eyes, you know, you could see if I'm bullshitting you or, you know, you could tell when you look at someone. And I just always felt that for 20 years, you know, people painted a picture of me that wasn't true. You know, so that's why I always wanted to do video. I can't speak for somebody else. But, you know, some of the shows I do now are audio only. There's no reason for me to do video for some other shows. But, yeah. All right. Rocky Red. I talk about my parents a lot. On that note, my favorite TV moms and dads. Oof. I mean, none of the shows today am I into any of the dads. Al Bundy is probably my favorite dad from TV over the years. I never liked The Cosby Show. I liked Family Ties growing up, even though I hated the father, especially when he didn't have a beard. I just wanted to just slap him. I never really was into TV moms and dads. because most of the moms and dads were goofy, you know, different strokes. Yeah, I this was so controversial when I said this like 15 years ago in a Minority Report, but I didn't mean any ill will, and Webster as well. Like, it just, the dads were goofy. I don't know, I just was never into like moms and dads on the shows. It's funny how many people that are older who had a crush on Mrs. Brady. I never thought she was hot. I mean, I was never really into a lot of the shows with the mothers and the daughters. Actually, you know what? I take that back. Mr. Belvedere and what's his face? Oh, my God. Oh, shit. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Just a bit outside. Oh, my God. Somebody bail me out. Bail me out. And he's a WWE Hall of Famer now as well. I'm going to end up bailing myself. Bob Uecker. Thank you, Kevin. Bob Uecker. That's probably one of my favorite dads. Bob Uecker was awesome on that show. But, yeah, I was never really into, like, the moms and the dads. You know, when you're growing up in the 80s, especially, and you're watching those shows, you know, you hit your teenage years, you're watching the daughters. You're watching the girl neighbor next door. You're not really watching for the moms and the dads, so... Uncle Phil, yes, Uncle Phil, absolutely. I was a late bloomer for Fresh Prince, and I didn't like Urkel's show. Did I do that? I fucking hated that show. That show jumped the shark after a couple of years. I remember watching an episode where he got stuck in a plane. He got stuck in a plane. And they were trying to land the plane. It was him and the other fucking guy, the father. And I'm like, oh, that's it. Why am I watching this show? You know, like, when he would, like, act all mature. And that was funny. But it's sad that the girl died. The girl that Urkel had a crush on. I think she's from Jersey. She died several years ago. I never knew that. I thought she was cute. But... you know, I was a late fan of the Fresh Prince. I liked the rap stuff, but I was never into the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air until probably a year or two that it was already on TV. Then I watched it every week. All right. Let's start bringing this home. Not yet, but let's start bringing it home. Let's Hank Hill. Boy, I'll tell you, if I listened to him, then I could probably, what? Nah, I can't do it right now. Can't do it. I used to do a great one. I was watching Beavis and Butthead earlier. Now they're doing episodes where Beavis and Butthead are older. Those are funny. Those are funny as fuck, man. If any of you were old school fans of Beavis and Butthead, watch the ones where they're supposed to be a lot older now. That's funny shit. The only thing I don't like is their breaks. Like back in the day, it would be music videos they make fun of. Now they show like reality stuff and they're all awful. They're not even funny. Like I just skip right through them. Okay. I don't have a favorite cereal right now because I'm on keto. My favorite cereal used to be peanut butter crunch. You know, Captain Crunch peanut butter flavor. I could eat a whole box in one sitting. Not even with milk. I could just put on wrestling or put on a TV show and a movie, eat a whole box. When I was a lot young, I used to like Grape Nuts. Grape Nuts is like eating hard specks of cardboard. So I would add like a lot of sugar to it, but not a big cereal guy anymore. They have keto cereal. The problem is, you know, the serving size, you couldn't even feed it to a midget. You know, serving size is like this big. I look at it, it's like, oh, 2 net carbs, 3 net carbs. Okay, you know, hey, here's a good one. You'll all appreciate this, even if you don't care about diet stuff. How many of your favorite wrestling podcasters plug Magic Spoon? I mean... every podcast out there has plugged Magic Spoon. They approached me about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago when I first started doing video. And they knew I was on keto because I guess they must have did a vanity search and saw I was commenting on it. And they're like, oh, we'd love for you to plug the cereal. And I said, look, I only plug things that I like. Oh, we'll send you a couple of boxes. Try it out, see if you like it, and you plug it. I'm like, great. They sent me a couple of boxes. I take the serving size. Now, on keto, you're only allowed 20 net carbs a day. 20 net carbs is nothing. So I took the magic spoon, which is like 4 or 5 net carbs, and I put the serving size in a bowl. I need a fucking magnifying glass to see how much cereal is in there. I'm like, you ever see like those funny Twitter videos where somebody from the hood goes to like a Wagyu restaurant and they're sitting there and you know they're from the hood, and then the Japanese guy will lift up the cover on the plate and there's a piece of steak the size of Brad Shepard's dick. It's about the size of a quarter. And he's looking at it and he's like, I paid $139 for this and it's probably the size of a quarter. You know, like, I'm exaggerating, but that was the serving size in a magic spoon. And I'm like, I got to eat 3 servings to feel like I'm eating a bowl of cereal. You ever watch the cereal commercials? This is a nice big bowl of cereal. You know, you pour milk and some cereal falls off the sides of the bowl because you got a lot nice bit. You put it in there. Honestly, if I was on life support and I weighed 40 pounds from cancer, that wouldn't have filled me up one serving. So I told them, I said, the cereal's good, but I'm not going to plug it. And they're like, why not? I said, because me, I'd have to eat 3 servings to feel like I ate like a nice bowl of cereal. I'm not using up 3/4 of my carbs for the day for that. And I didn't plug it. And I threw it out. I swear to God, I threw it out. Because you get tempted. Today, I wanted almonds. No joke. I wanted raw almonds. So after I went to my barbecue, I stopped by the store and I picked up a container of almonds. And I was watching some TV, reading about that fucking blimp, the submarine thing that blew up. And I'm eating almonds, and I'm like, how many almonds did I eat so far? I put the container on the scale. I ate like 3 ounces of almonds already. And I took it, and I dumped it out. And my wife was like, why'd you dump it out? It was like almost the whole container. I said, because if I leave it in the house, I'm going to eat it. Sometimes if I just want something a little, I'll eat a little and I'll throw the rest out. Because if I leave it in the house, I'll eat it. If I would have left the magic spoon in the house, I would have ate the whole box. It's good, but it's too small. Maggie says I'm on fire tonight. I'm just being honest, man. Magic spoon is not bad. Let me put it this way. If you're cutting down, if you're not on keto and you're cutting down like the amount of bread that you eat and cake and you want to eat something healthier, get Magic Spoon. Have a nice bowl. That still would be a big bowl of Magic Spoon would still be 1,000 times healthier than having like a small container of, you know, Captain Crunch, you know, or any type of sweet cereal. So Frosted Flakes. You know how many times I thought Frosted Flakes was healthy? It had sugar, but it was wheat. Like, thank you, Psycho187, for the kind words. Rockstar Wolfie is in the house. Is AEW too reliant on the Chicago crowds? They just announced that All Out and Collision will be live from the United Center, as well as Dynamite from the Now Arena in Chicago that same week. Are they too reliant? No. You know why I say no? Because in the early days of Raw, you know, I mean, in WWF, there was a lot of shows that hailed from New York. You know, growing up, ECW in the 90s, you know, yeah, they were in New York and they went to other states when they started doing pay-per-view. But most of the events were in Philly. As long as the fans keep showing up, why wouldn't you? Plus, when is the events? When are the events going down? I mean, if they did it once a month or once every 2 months, then I would be like, okay, maybe it's a little too much. I will say this. They will definitely wear out that area sooner or later. But if the fans keep paying and they keep showing up, Hell yeah. Still do it. September 3rd. Okay, that is a little over 2 months from now. No, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with it. You go where the money is. And if Chicago is still, you know, listen, I'm from New York, so I'm a little biased about New York fans. But Chicago is pretty fucking lively. And the Chicago shows, you know, they have a great audience there. They sold a lot of tickets. I mean, they were selling a decent number of tickets. Listen, I said this a month ago. I knew I was going to be right. It wasn't even hard. It's just that it was boring. But I made a point that once Collision airs and once the fans get an idea of what they're going to see every week, then they'll buy the tickets. When I showed you a lot of the areas, as soon as they got the first Collision out of the way, those ticket sales started to boost. But Chicago sold the most. So, hey, if Chicago fans keep wanting to pay in that money, yeah, I would go there. I see zero wrong with it. But if Chicago starts underperforming, then you got to start finding elsewhere. I don't think they're relying on Chicago. I think that they're actually pretty smart because they're getting decent revenue there and they're getting decent ticket sales. I think it would be dumb if, like, they announced they were coming back to Regina in 2 or 3 months. You know, and you look and you're like, why would you, did you see the ticket sales? Why would you come back so quick? That's different. They're coming back to an area where they're selling good. A lot of discussion about cereal still in the chat. That's awesome, man. I don't mind. Bash says Solo Monster eats Magic Spoon. I swear to you, it's not a bad cereal. I don't think Jason is on keto, though. And if you look at Jason, I mean, look, I like my M&Ms without peanuts, if you know what I mean. But Jason, if you look at him, Jason don't have, you know, the weight that I do. And Jason is in good shape. So Jason could eat boxes of Magic Spoon. I can't. So, yeah, Magic Spoon's a good cereal. It's just it's too small of a portion for me to enjoy. See, I'm about to, I bought a whole bunch of chemicals on Amazon, sodium calcinate and calcium chloride and all that stuff. There's a recipe now where you could make spaghetti with just a couple of eggs and xanthan gum and some powder, and you mix it like with the sodium, and then you pour it in a bath of water, and as you squirt the liquid in the water, it turns it to spaghetti. It's the wildest shit you've ever seen. But I looked at it, and I see this part. Me, it's about quantity. Like, now, because I have to have salad, you know, it's, I don't mind eating salad, but I got to eat a barrel of it. I got to eat more than a herd of cattle. Like, I have to eat a lot of something. You know, I just can't eat like a small amount. So now with this spaghetti thing, they make spaghetti and I see this plate like this big and it's like it's only 40 calories. I'm like, hell yeah, man. I don't care if I'm fucking, if I have spaghetti coming out of my nostrils. I'd rather eat a giant plate and it tastes eh than eat a little bit in an amount like, oh, that's the most amazing thing ever. So Maggie, the keto diet is basically no bread, no sugar, no starch, just meat, fat, and vegetables. Basically, without getting to this whole thing, just the Cliff Notes short version. You, I, everybody tuning in, your body burns sugar first. That's why if you ever heard that marathon runners eat like plates of pasta the night before they run, it's not because it tastes good and it's their favorite meal. It's because the carbohydrate, they load their body with carbohydrates. Your body burns off sugar first. When you go on keto, you're no longer taking in anything that would cause, you use insulin. When people are diabetic, their pancreas can no longer make the insulin to break down, you know, sugar and everything else. So keto, you're no longer taking in carbohydrates. So what happens is your body, once you go through all the carbohydrates you have stored, your body's like, what are we supposed to use for fuel? It looks around and it doesn't see anything and it goes into a panic. That's why I got sick. I felt, I sounded like I had a cold for a couple of days. After a little while, Your body says, oh, we could burn the fat for energy. And it burns fat and it burns protein and it no longer. So my body this week was probably only, I've been on keto now for 5 weeks. This week was the first week that I actually got fat adapted, which now my body is using fat for energy. And let me just say one other thing that a lot of you will find pretty cool, even if you're not into food stuff like this. A gram of carbohydrate is 4 calories. A gram of fat is 9 calories. 9 or 7? 9. And if you ever look online, you'll get a kick out of this. There's trillion websites that show this. They'll show you what 10 pounds of fat looks like and 10 pounds of protein looks like. And if you look at it, the same amount of weight, the fat is this big and the other is this big. The point is that when you burn fat, it's you're burning more in your body. It's a whole bunch of shit. But basically, my body no longer looks for carbohydrates for fuel. Believe it or not, I don't crave sugar anymore. Like, when I'm done here, I'm going to eat an avocado. I'm actually, like, looking forward to it. So, very good for diabetes, too. MJ says, Myesha Tate went keto before a title defense against Amanda. She thought that that's what made her performance flat. Yeah, if she went on keto, like, within 2 months of a fight, yeah, she fucked herself up. Because another thing, too, without getting into all this technical shit, think of the word carbohydrate. What is in that word? Hydrate. Carbohydrates store water. Carbohydrate. So what happens is when you get off of carbs and you're eating just fat and vegetables and protein, because vegetables, you shit right out. Your fiber, just your body doesn't do anything. It takes the vitamins, but it gets rid of everything else. What happened to her was that if it was in within the first 6-8 weeks, your body is letting out a lot of water that is stored. That's why your face starts getting thin first. Your body starts letting out a lot of water. Along with it, it's letting out a lot of salts. So you got to replenish your body with electrolytes, magnesium, sodium, and everything else. She was probably dehydrated as fuck because her body was getting fat adapted and she was probably letting out so much of her salts and was not replacing it with the electrolytes. So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, scientific shit. And the only reason why I sound so smart is because I was on keto for 3 years. So going back to it, it was a lot easier because I knew right away what I can do when I have to do so. But look at the Karrion Kross's social media post from today. He was on keto. Now he's on carnivore. And what carnivore is all you eat is meat. All you eat is meat and fat. That's it. Meat and fat. No vegetables. Meat and fat. I think you're allowed a little dairy, but just protein. And yeah, it's pretty wild. I couldn't do carnivore. Couldn't do that. I love Taco Bell. In fact, I already know what I'm eating for dinner tomorrow. I'm going to take a whole bunch of ground beef. I'm going to brown it in avocado oil. And then I'm going to take lettuce, make lettuce wraps, pour ground beef on them, grated Mexican cheddar cheese, sour cream, and have lettuce wraps instead of putting them in tacos. And I have tacos. I have low-carb tacos. I could eat, you know, you improvise. In fact, there's a recipe out there now that you can make mashed potatoes out of egg whites. Because you're loaded with sour cream and butter and all this other shit, which you're allowed to have. But people are making mashed potatoes out of just egg whites. And apparently it tastes like mashed potatoes. So you trick your body into thinking it's having things that it's having, so. I don't work out at all, Michael. Honestly, I don't work out. None. My biggest workout is walking to my car and back or throwing out the garbage. I mean, I clean my house. I can't do exercise. I can't. My stomach is still fucked up from my diverticulitis surgery. I do one sit-up, and then my stomach inside is telling me, yeah, do that again and watch what happens. I can't. I'm just No, no exercise for me. When we went to Disney for my honeymoon last year, I did more walking in Disney than I probably walked in 20 years combined. So, no, I don't exercise. So, there's only one thing that I actually do for exercise. And I don't even do that enough. Right now, the only pasta I can have, I make it with lupin flour. Lupin flour is an Italian bean that they make pasta out of. It's actually pretty good. It's not bad. Theme parks and things with Johnny celebrating 19 months as a channel member. Aren't I supposed to have natural or artificial sugar? Oh, you aren't supposed to have. I don't. I have Splenda. I have Stevia. I have monk fruit once in a while. Erythritol. Guys, gals, if you have pets, if you ever have something that has erythritol in it, keep it away from your animals. It'll kill them. Believe me when I tell you, it is deadly. Any candies, anything that has erythritol in it, you want to keep those away from your pets. That is deadly for them. I don't know why, but it's deadly. So, I could actually eat McDonald's. I can. I just throw out the bread. No ketchup, because ketchup has sugar in it, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup. No french fries, though. If I have an egg sandwich, I just don't eat the bread. Could have everything else. Chaos is around. For anybody tuning into Forbidden Door, it's already on the air for an hour and 20 minutes. How has it been so far? Not including the pre-show. How's Forbidden Door been so far? I'm a little curious. Chaos says it's just okay so far. Verse says it's been boring. Well, they're probably saving the big money matches for last. Like, you know, for the people that do care about it, they're really looking forward to seeing Bryan Danielson versus Okada. That's a fantasy match for a lot of people. And that's cool. I mean, I'm not knocking that at all. It's just, you know, when I think of Okada, you know what I think of? I think of when Tony Khan was leaning on his shoulder and Okada was like looking at everybody like, you know, like, that's what I think. He's had amazing matches with Kenny Omega. You know, he did the clothesline, the Wheel of Yuta the other day, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen JBL do that 1,000 times before. I mean, it was fun that he did it to Yuta, but it was like, you know, it's not like that here's my $60. Take my money. Nah, man. I'd rather order dinner tomorrow with that $60 or pay my phone bill. You know what I mean? Nah. How would I make Impact a player again? Just keep banging out good shows. Stop trying to reinvent shit. You know, they did like their versions of like Legends House, which was fun in the beginning, and then they jumped the shark and tried to keep reinventing it. They had some interesting storylines, but they just really went Lucha Underground beyond Lucha Underground level. I remember Sinister Minister, didn't he like get stabbed and die? And so, like, they just, I think, I've said this before, the big problem with Impact Wrestling is they lost their identity. That's their biggest problem. They lost their identity. Even back in the day, when I said Impact, people would say, oh, X Division, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, this, Kurt Angle. Like, but you would say, like, X Division and, you know, other things. But they lost their identity. And I think their biggest mistake was, even though I know COVID shut down a lot of things, but when they made Kenny Omega their heavyweight champion for that long, it sent a message to their fans and it sent a message to their locker room that our current roster is not strong enough, you know, that we have to use an outside big name to, you know, keep. And I just thought it was bad. If they would have appeared on Dynamite a few times, do you remember when Camille showed up on Dynamite? I remember she walked up the step. And she walked down the step, and I never seen her ever again. I mean, it just, it was so one-sided. They got to build their identity again. And they're on the right track. They're on the right track. They went back to their roots. Alex Shelley getting the championship. Not bad. It's not going to tear the house down. It's not going to generate tons of viewers. But they're up about 20%. You know, not for the whole year, but recently they're up about 20% in the viewers. Hey, that's good. Now try to get another 5%, another 10%. It's just sad. I was going to mention this week on Wednesday anyway, but I'll say it here now. How sad is it that no one is talking about Trinity? No one. I mean, you get like a Divas page talking, or, you know, women's page talking. For the most part, Trinity has been forgotten completely. So that's pretty sad. So Jungle Boy turned heel on Hook. All right. Okay. Jungle Boy needs to cut his hair. Jungle Boy, I said this a couple of weeks ago. If you remember his father, Luke Perry, I saw a side view of Jungle Boy, I think when he picked up MJF's championship a couple of weeks ago. And it was funny because the length of the title was almost as tall as him. But Jungle Boy turned his head sideways. And I've seen him sideways in the past. But I looked at him closely and I was like, if he fucking cuts his hair, it's going to be scary how much he looks like his father. It's scary. So I want to see Jungle Boy cut your hair. Cut your hair. Cut your hair. I hope he cuts his hair. Remember, guys, anybody that's been with me for a long time, they'll back me up in the chat room right now. I ain't lying. When Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, first went to WWE, they did the Nexus thing. They fired him. They brought him back. He was stuck in the mud. And I was on an episode of Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. And Kevin said to me, just in conversation, like, what would you do, you know, to help Daniel Bryan a little bit? And I just said, you know what? I have him grow facial hair. I said, he's too plain, too, like, neighbor next door, somebody you'd see working in, like, a Home Depot. I said, I think he's got to get facial hair. I think he's got to grow his hair and get, you know, change his facial look a little bit. And I remember a whole bunch of people in the Restream chat or whatever it was, like, his facial hair is the least of his problems. I was like, no, I think he's got to change his look. And probably 6 months later, changed his look. Nobody was listening to me. I want to make that clear. I'm not trying to say that, oh, they listened, but I just saw that, and I thought that they needed to do that. Jungle Boy needs to do the opposite. Jungle Boy needs to shave the fucking curly hair. You're not a boy anymore. You're a man. And, yes, men have hair like that. Shave the fucking hair. Unless his girl loves that hair. I mean, honestly, if I'm Jungle Boy and I'm having my wrestling career right now, and I got that look, and you hear the music, change his music, too. Change his fucking music. I know Jericho still comes out to Judas because he wants the fans to be interactive. If anybody, and look, I got a couple of friends in AEW, not in high places, but, you know, they don't need to hear me say this, but as someone who has been doing this since 97 and given thoughts and analysis, what I would do for Jungle Boy immediately, change his music. Change his music. Do not do that. Oh, 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 oh. I hated that song in the first place because I've heard it 10 times. And listen, let's be a little honest here. You know, everybody loves Elton John. But trust me, I guarantee you that nobody that's in their teens and 20s or even 30s right now, when they're home hanging out and the radio, Saturday, 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 Saturdays. You know, like now all of a sudden, oh, it's epic, it's amazing, it's unbelievable. Sir Elton John, Saturday night. The song is good, but people are making it sound like, wow, it's fucking amazing. He secured Saturday nights, all right, for fighting. That used to be the intro for my hotline. Anybody remember the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline? Myself, Matt Zombie, and Brian Damage? every Saturday night. Saturday's nights are all right for fighting. Here on the Blackhearts Sport, I'll fucking put an episode of the Blackhearts. I have episodes saved from 1999 still. The audio is awful. But you'll hear it. Saturday night's all right for fighting here on the Blackhearts Sports Entertainment Hotline. You know, but, you know, people are like, oh, my God, it's and I get a kick out of the people. Before it was Elton John. But because AEW is using his music for his theme song, now it's Sir Elton John Esquire. Change Jack Perry's music. And if you really want to stir it up, cut your fucking hair. If his girl is really in fact, listen, if he's home at night and he's relaxing on the couch and she's like, oh, Jack, let's go in the other room and play. Then I don't shave my hair. I don't cut my hair at all. But if she don't like the hair, then I would cut it. I would cut it. I don't have any issue with CM Punk holding that LGBTQ sign and youth. I didn't have any issue with it. The only issue I have with this whole, you know, controversy with LGBTQ, and I'll say it, I don't mind. I mean, I back up. I don't I think before I say things, but I'll say this. Today they had the Gay Pride Parade here in New York City. I saw highlights of it. And overall, I don't have any issue with it. I mean, it's celebration. I mean, if you look back in the early 70s, what happened, you know, with, you know, the police and the way, you know, there was riots and the way they mistreated, you know, some people in the gay community. I mean, that's the celebration. That's why they do this parade. What I do find the problem with, and there's a video on Twitter floating around right now, and you will see it. There's a guy, probably 60s, you'll see him. He looks like Kenny Rogers, just fat. I know Kenny Rogers is dead, but he has a white beard. You probably have seen it already. He's got a white beard, big stomach, and all he's wearing is a pair of tighty whities. And you see, he's got a bulge hanging out, and he's twerking. And there's a bunch of kids standing on the sidewalk with their parents right behind him. Now, my thoughts of that is this. If I wasn't allowed in an R-rated film when I was 7 years old, it should not be allowed that a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old is allowed to be standing on the sidelines of a parade where you got 60-year-old men just wearing a pair of white Hanes doing twerking with their balls literally, you know, 30 feet away. That's the only problem I have with it. That's the only problem I have. Because if you want to bring your kids to celebrate, to show them, to educate them, that's your prerogative. If I'm that fucking fat Kenny Rogers guy in the street and I want to celebrate that I'm gay, that's fine. If you're walking down the street and you see a family with a couple of little kids on the sidewalk, I say to myself, you know what? Let me walk another block over before I start twerking my ass and my balls in people's faces. So that's my only problem with it. And if you think I'm exaggerating, go look. Go on Twitter and go just search the parade and type in twerk. You'll see the video. That's the only problem I had with it. I had people yesterday. And it's funny because people DM me or email me because they don't want to put it out there because I guess they're afraid that other people stop bashing them. Yesterday on the Don Tony Show, I was talking about how when Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill both lost their titles the same time period, there's a whole bunch of people on social media trying to turn it into a black thing. And I brought that up yesterday, and I had a whole bunch of people calling me out, and I'm like, that didn't fucking happen. I showed people tweets that had thousands of likes on it and hundreds of response. Not every response was positive, but thousands of people liking this stuff. I don't exaggerate. I tell it like it is. Again, you want to celebrate black, white, Italian, Puerto Rican pride, whatever it is, gay, lesbian, straight, celebrate whatever you want. But when it comes to something sexually, you know, explicit, and you see little kids there, you know, yeah, maybe the parents should have said, hey, kids, let's go get ice cream. You know, turn their heads away. When I used to sit on my couch with my parents and they'd be watching with Metco Home Theater and it'd be an R-rated film. I'll give you a good example, Porky's. I remember it clearly. Watch Porky's in my house. We were watching Porky's on TV and then they did the scene with the showers. I remember my mom doing this, putting my hands over my face. Don't look! Don't look! So maybe the parents should have just said, hey, let's go get some ice cream. But the guy in the street, go look it up. That's the only problem I had with this. You know, you got to have a little bit of smarts that, okay, you're celebrating. But if you see little kids around, maybe you know, not do that. I mean, even if you're straight, there's no excuse for it. Even if you're at a pool party or you're at the beach. You know, if you're at the beach, a whole bunch of guys blasting music, having beers, girls are there, everybody's wearing thongs, and you got some, you know, somebody shooting a music video, and then somebody standing there with a bunch of little kids. You know, maybe the girl doesn't twerk her ass right in front of the kid's face. I'm sure the kid loves it. But you got to be a little bit smarter and say, look, there's kids around. Let me not do that. Rizzo, with a 5 spot, in his opinion, it's the same as bringing a kid to a Hooters or a Twin Peaks. Yes, absolutely. But if you notice, with a lot of those restaurants, they will tone it down if they're in front of a kid. It's got to be like 10 years ago. I actually went to a little gathering at a Hooters. I'd never been to Hooters before. And, you know, you could, you know, big tits and all this stuff. And I remember there was a little couple of kids around. And there were a couple of girls that were there. But they really, you know, toned it down when they were around the kids. Nobody complained. So, yeah, you got to just look at your surroundings and make a judgment call. So, Twin Peaks, I've never been to. I don't know if we have a Twin Peaks in New York. So, all right, let's start wrapping this up. Yeah, tidy whities, that's what they would call it. Just like the sleeveless T-shirts, the white sleeveless T-shirts. Back in the day, we all called them wife beaters. You know, Hanes tank tops. The phrase people would use is wife beaters. Why did they call them wife beaters? Because if you ever watch like Goodfellas, or if you watch The Godfather, like they all wear like the sleeveless white Hanes tank tops. And the idea was like a lot of Italian guys would beat up their wives. We're talking, you know, years, decades ago. But that's where the phrase came from. Because I'm Italian and I come from, you know, the neighborhood and be like, hey, you know, what are you doing? Hey, you're dressed? Yeah, I got a wife beater on. All right, no problem. Can't really say that anymore, so. Will I show more footage of my indie wrestle crap? Yeah, I got to just search my old hard drive, go through some old DVDs. I'll be putting up more stuff lately. It's just timing. More than anything else. Right now, the timing. Thank you, Rizzo, again. It's the timing is everything. I mean, if you've, over the last couple of years, the shows have changed a little bit. You see what's popular overall. We try to make a balance for everyone. But yeah, I'll be posting more stuff. So, Gamer's Block, I didn't forget about you. But I will definitely bring you up now. Thank you for the 5 spot, my friend. My opinions on AEW having that indie stink on them, not making changes to seem big league, is being seen as inferior, keeping AEW from new viewers. All right. This is the best way I could describe it from my perception. I do not feel that AEW has an indie stink to them. They're very professional, very polished. The setup, you know, it doesn't feel indie. The entrance, the pyro, the music, everything is definitely not on an indie level. The problem is they have put themselves in a situation where every week has got to be Crash TV and chaos and a crackerjack surprise. And what happens is there's only so many times you could do the same thing over and over and over again. They're running out of people on the indies where the lights could go off and the lights could come back on and people are like, holy shit, holy shit. Yeah, Forbidden Door weekend, you know, people will see. I've said this, and I'm sorry this pisses off people, but it's the God honest truth. You come to fucking New York, you do an AEW show, you turn the lights off, you turn the lights back on, and standing on the rampway is for some jacked 240-pound Japanese guy from my sushi place five blocks away, and he's standing there wearing a fucking no shirt on, and he looks like a wrestler. I guarantee you there'd be a good portion of that crowd to go, holy shit, holy shit. And meanwhile, he's just a sushi delivery guy. You know, some people do that. They don't even know what they're chanting about. If you notice, sometimes they don't react until the name pops up on the screen. My God. They did that for, who was it? It wasn't Miro. There was someone recently that the person was on the screen and the name didn't pop up right away and there was no reaction to it. It wasn't Miro, but it was somebody. So honestly, the problem that they have is the only indie-ish thing that they do is every week's got to be chaos, crackerjack surprise, clusterfuck, car crash. That's why Jeff Jarrett and the concession brawl was the highest rated segment of their show. Crash TV, clusterfuck, chaos. Why do you think they don't enforce the rules? Why do you think that there's these brawls outside the ring and people go through tables and people get hit with chairs and people get hit with other weapons and they get thrown in the guardrails and they brawl and they this outside the ring for 5 minutes and the ref doesn't count them out? Because they want that Crash TV. That's their problem. Because when you keep seeing the same thing over and over again, you get used to it. It doesn't feel as exciting anymore. You know, I used a horror film example. When I first went to horror films, I had fucking nightmares watching some of the shit. I remember as a kid seeing the movie Maniac. And when he cut the girl's head, I fucking had nightmares about it. Then once my grandmother took me to Zombie, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Halloween 2, this and that. By the fifth or sixth movie, like, I'm sitting there entertained, eating popcorn, laughing at everything. Wanting to see Jason kill people. Wanting to see Freddy Krueger killing people. Wanting to see Michael Myers beating the shit out of somebody. You get used to it. Then after a while, it gets boring. And then after a while, you've seen it all. So that's their problem. Their problem is that every week there's got to be crackerjack, chaos, clusterfuck, the three C's. Without it, then, you know, there's only so far you could go. Look, Andrade versus Buddy Matthews last week was fucking awesome. It was also one of the lowest quarters, if not the lowest quarter of the whole night. So, yeah, it's awesome. But in the overall scope of viewers, it's not what draws the attention. You get that hardcore fan base that will pop big for it. But at the end of the day, they're not the ratings draw. If that was the case, you would see a hell of a lot more gold on some of these guys. Everybody talks about Swerve Strickland online. I fucking love Swerve. I can't wait for him to go back to WWE. I watch people like, Swerve, 1 year from now, he's going to be AEW World Champion. I'm like, no, he's not. He lost yesterday, and everybody should have expected that because you're not going to have his opponent go into a forbidden door with a loss. And the excuse is he had an incredible match. But he fucking lost. Oh, he teased MJF. He ain't beating MJF. You know, oh, it's a travesty that he doesn't have any gold around him. Yeah, I agree. But you can tell, if you're honest with yourself, you can tell that Tony Khan does not have in his book Swerve Strickland, future world champion in our company. You know, get pushed to a certain extent and then pulled back. Ricky Starks is another one. There's a whole bunch. And at the end of the day, chaos, clusterfuck, crackerjack surprise. Thank you, Gamers Block. That's my honest opinion. And I'm not complaining to an extent because I like that stuff. But overall, you see what the numbers are. There's not that many CM Punks still laying out there. Isn't it funny now that suddenly Goldberg is an acceptable possibility to have a retirement match in AEW? Wasn't that long ago. Keep the fucking Goldbergs away from this company. Keep the fucking Hogans away from this company. Keep the... Now Hogan is still, you know, but now all of a sudden, Goldberg is okay for a retirement match. Why? Why? They don't want to see Goldberg retire in AEW. They just want to be able to say that Goldberg chose AEW instead of WWE to retire. There's a big difference there. Because if Goldberg has his retirement match in WWE, those same people will act like they don't give a fuck. So Goldberg retiring in AEW, that's what they are interested in. Not him retiring in AEW, the fact that he retired in AEW instead of WWE. Why do you think it's always about the attendance and the ratings and the ticket sales? Whenever it's a good number, you will see people boasting that number. But whenever somebody shows something negative, those same people, why do you got to bring up low seats, ticket sales? Why do you got to bring up empty arena? Why do you got to bring up the ratings? Why do you got to bring up this? When the numbers are good, those same people will fucking tell the world, AEW is on fire right now. They did 902,000 viewers this week. They are on the uptick. They are doing great. They just sold out 10,000 seats. And then the next show, you show a little video of arena half full. But why are you going to show that? Why are you going to bring up ratings? The only bit of that. That's why I usually leave all that stuff off my shows. Because if I show one, I got to show the other. I'll cover ratings, and that's it, if you notice. That's why I don't even cover demos. Unless it's something really noteworthy, I don't cover demos. We've already talked about that. You had a TV show that was ranked number 12 2 weeks ago because the demo was like 0.6. But if you added up the numbers, they only had 100,000 people in that demo. And I don't like Hannity, that Fox News guy. That guy Hannity was ranked like number 28. That guy Hannity had over 1 million viewers in the same demo. But somebody's going to tell me that a show with only 100,000 viewers in that demo was ranked higher because the percentage was higher? And you can't even explain that online. And even if you did, people would just ignore it. They'll be like, shh, you're ruining it. You're spoiling all the fun. Bobby Mean says that's why AEW is falling as far as Goldberg is concerned. He wouldn't call it a retirement match. One match is going to lead to 5 days. Goldberg, I brought this up, I think, yesterday. Goldberg is, I'd be shocked. Shocked beyond disbelief if Goldberg has a retirement match. I don't want to repeat what I said yesterday, but I will say this. Look at it like this. And I think this kills any idea of Goldberg retiring in AEW. Picture putting a video package together. What video package is AEW going to put together? Him playing football? They can't put any WCW or WWE footage together in a video package. Unlike Owen Hart, who wrestled in Japan when he had fucking mullet, I don't think Goldberg, when he had hair, was wrestling in Japan back in the day. Plus, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, are you going to see any celebrations of Goldberg with merchandise and videos and shirts and this and that in AEW? You might see a shirt, but WWE has everything. WWE could recycle Goldberg every 5 years. The 20-year anniversary, it's the 25-year anniversary of his debut, it's the 10-year anniversary of his retirement, it's the 20-year anniversary of this. And Goldberg will make money. His son will always see him being celebrated. Goldberg is not going to burn a bridge with WWE and lose all of that for the next 5 to 10 years because WWE will hold a grudge just so he could have a retirement match at Wembley. I don't buy it. And honestly, I think once again, I'll be right with this. You know, you got to just take a step back and just picture yourself being Goldberg. Picture what WWE will present a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. You still got NWO shit being sold, celebrating NWO. You still got stuff being celebrated for others. Goldberg's legacy will live on, period, in WWE. AEW, he retires. Everybody feels like, oh, he chose AEW over WWE. And then a month from now, oh, I don't want him back. No. He had his retirement match. Stay away. Mm-mm. Nope. We'll see. But I'd be shocked. All right. Let's do 2-3 more minutes and let's leave. Because I have to review the show and type up a synopsis, which takes time. And then I got to make myself some dinner because I have not had dinner yet. And it's already almost 10 o'clock. Then I got to prepare for the show tomorrow and work tomorrow. Oh, plugs. Monday, we got the final Raw before Money in the Bank. So that will be interesting. I know Dominic Mysterio and Cody are going to have a little schmoz. Seth Rollins and Finn Balor will have a little bit of a schmoz. There will be a Women's Money in the Bank Summit with all participants appearing. And we'll see what else goes on. Then Tuesday, Kev Castle and yours truly will be recording your Money in the Bank preview and predictions show. If you're part of our Patreon page, patreon.com/DonTony, you could join us live and interact and witness the show live. If not, no worries. DonTony.com. Around midnight Tuesday night, we'll have the episode up there. And then Wednesday night, Dynamite. And then Thursday, a little Q&A will be uploaded. Just a little something from the channel members here on YouTube. They're the ones that actually are submitting the questions for this episode. So if you're a channel member, you know, get your question in by Wednesday. That'll be uploaded live for everybody Thursday. The only thing is, I got to talk to Kev, figure out how we're going to do the recap of Money in the Bank. Next Tuesday is July 4th. Yeah, 10:30 at night. You know, we're home for the 4th of July, so we'll probably do it on normal schedule. But if he's going to be out and about, he and I may have to record it Monday afternoon, and then maybe we'll put it online Tuesday morning. So by the end of this coming weekend, I'll let everybody know when the review of Money in the Bank will be recorded. So Maggie is looking forward to it. Won't be able to tune in live. Well, we'll be doing the predictions live and a recap on Patreon, but we won't be on YouTube. So it's not fair to Kev to put DTKC stuff on YouTube. You know, I don't want to, you know, it's a lot of technical stuff. It's business. There's a lot of reasons why. Plus, it's one size video, one size audio. It doesn't look right. If it was 1 week, that's different, but, you know. All right, let's do 2 more questions and let's get out of here. So let's make them good. Oh, I disagree. Goldberg would definitely be received well by AEW fans if he has a retirement match there. AEW fans will put on a tux, not literally, but they will show nothing but love and appreciation because of the fact that Goldberg chose to retire in AEW, even if Tony Khan overpaid for that. But again, I don't see it happening. I just see too much that WWE can continue to give Goldberg beyond his wrestling, in-ring wrestling career. Goldberg is not going to pass all that up. Goldberg has not burned bridges. Goldberg is a little bit disappointed. And I will continue to say, I believe Goldberg could very well retire, have his retirement match in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia gives WWE, think about that. Wembley has made $8 million. That's not including the cost for the building, insurance, travel, plane, expenses, pay, all everything like that. And imagine WWE getting six times that for one Saudi show. $50 million. So if Saudi wants to pay a couple of mil to have Goldberg have his retirement match in Saudi Arabia, oh, you best damn believe that could happen. Yeah, I mean, Saudi Arabia would be the easiest excuse. If WWE doesn't want to pay Goldberg for a retirement match, Saudi will. Saudi say, oh, we want, let's have Goldberg retire on our show. And Goldberg will, why do you think Trish was in Saudi Arabia? Why do you think Lita was a year ago? Huge giant. Why do you think Shawn Michaels came out of retirement for that one match? They make a crazy amount of money, and that's financial security for themselves, for their family. So Goldberg, one way, shape, or form, is going to have it in WWE. If they had a blowout, a fight, a big fallout, that's different. But as far as I'm concerned, that has not happened. All right, Twix, I know you like your name mentioned, and I know you write stuff because you want to, you know, me to address it, even if it's ridiculous. You think I make bank here? I couldn't even buy myself dinner for most of the episodes I do here. So if I showed people what I made here, people would say, what the fuck you doing video for? So please, I know you write things to try to spark attention for that. I'll be with Super Chats tonight. You take that away from here, I probably will make about $6 or $7. So please, I don't do that simply for that. But at the same time, though, if expenses are not paid, then obviously changes are made. Why do you think Observer went subscription-based? Every one of their shows now you got to pay for. I almost did that. I almost had to. And it was kind of disappointing to have people say, I'm not paying 50 cents a week for his shows. And you realize five shows, 50 cents a week. No. People were like, no. And I wasn't going to hurt anybody. I don't want to screw anybody over. So I said, okay, let me just add some commercials instead. And I leave everything the way it is. So, you know, there's a lot sacrificed here. You know, unless you want me to plug Magic Spoon. Not plugging Magic Spoon. Oh, I know you all appreciate it. Even Twix. But no, we ain't killing it here. We ain't killing it anywhere. So why do you think there's so much clickbait? I'll leave you with this. Let's finish with this. Actually, two. Kevin with a comment, and I want to bring up something with Eddie Kingston. Kevin Milwaukee says, whenever he hears a Rainmaker, Okada reminds him of that terrible Matchbox 20 pop song where he goes, I wonder what it's like to be the Rainmaker. You know, the Japanese music and the culture is a lot different in the United States. You know, that's why, honestly, I will defend some of the Japanese women that wrestle in AEW. You know, was it Emi Sakura that was paying tribute to Queen? Was it Emi Sakura that was coming out and paying tribute to Freddie Mercury? Somebody that was wrestling in AEW did. And I remember listening to Jim Cornette one time, and he was really ripping, like, what is she dressed like? Why? And I was like, you know, they kind of cosplay. You know, they cosplay characters. They cosplay, you know, musicians. Look at Kushida. Kushida cosplayed Michael J. Fox from Back to the Future. I mean, you know, that's more of the culture in Japan. And Rocky Red says, yeah, it was Emi Sakura. know, it's a different culture. So that's why if you see like some of the hairstyles, some of the music, it's different. So I wanted to say one thing before we go off the air. Eddie Kingston was interviewed by the New York Post a day or two ago. And Eddie Kingston wanted to make it clear that there's no problem in the locker room right now. He says that the locker room is not divided. He said that he sees all the clickbait on YouTube. He sees all of the fake news that's posted online. He sees the attention that people are trying to give. But at the end of the day, he's there to tell everyone that the locker room is not divided. I truly believe that, with the exception of the elite, obviously, they have held that bridge against CM Punk, and they are not going to let it go. They're not going to resolve it. They're going to leave it the way it is. But the reason why I say that is because, you know, you see a lot of shows out there. And even though they don't create the fake news, they certainly will plaster it as the big title for their shows and tease it. You know, I think the most recent one was AEW in Damage Control before the ESPN article came out. And I watched everybody and their mother making this front page headlines that AEW, Wade Keller's the one that started that shit. And everybody used that, read, listen to me, read me, watch me, this, this, and that. And people said, hey, DT, you going to comment about that? And I said, no, I'm going to wait for the interview to come out. And the interview came out, and all these people were wrong. But they all made money, and I didn't. So that's what you deal with. So that's why when some people tell me, hey, I'm thinking about starting a wrestling podcast, you know, any advice? I'm like, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be straight up with your stuff, don't be prepared to be killing it in the money department, you know, because, I mean, why? Like, we started the show talking about Nick Khan and Triple H supposedly upset at Vince McMahon. I guarantee you, this time tomorrow, you will see boatloads of articles and podcasts, and the front headline will be about Nick Khan and Triple H, angry or concerned or disappointed or upset. Upset's probably the best word. At Vince McMahon. Based on what? Based on somebody out there that doesn't like Vince McMahon. That's not news. But that's how you make money. My friends, I am out of here. We went a lot longer than I expected to. And I thank everybody for joining me tonight. Once again, I'm going to watch Forbidden Door. I'm not going to watch it tonight because I know me. If I start watching it, I'm not going to stop until it's over. And I'm not going to stay up till the wee hours in the morning when I know I got to go to work tomorrow. So I will watch a little bit of it on Monday. I'll watch a little bit on Tuesday, a little bit on Wednesday. Some matches that people say they're skippable, I'll probably skip them as well. I personally am curious to see some of the outcomes. Some of the wrestlers, you know, hey, I love watching some people wrestle. But if I pass up them facing, you know, Yum Dum Sum, you know, it's like, okay, that's fine. If I pass up that match, you know, I'm not going to, you know, be in the dark, or that doesn't make me an AEW hater. Just means that, you know, I don't have to watch every little match of every little thing. So, but yeah, I will definitely watch most of it, if not all of it. And I'll tell you how I felt about it next week, good or bad. So, my friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode. A lot of fun. A lot of great conversation. I tell you, this episode, I know originally we weren't going to have much wrestling talk, but I don't like to rate episodes. But tonight's episode, I don't know, something feels different about it. Tonight felt, you know, different. And I say that in a real positive way. This was a lot of fun tonight. They were always fun, but tonight just felt like stronger conversation, you know. And the cool thing about it is a lot of the topics we talked about, they're not going to be outdated even a month from now. So we could go back and, you know, see what happens with Goldberg and see what happens with this and see what happens with AEW's progression, see what happens with some of the other things. So, yeah, a lot of props to the chat room tonight. Chat room, very, very active. A lot of fun. A lot of great convo. I'm blown away at the cereal conversation earlier. A lot of cereal talk, but it's time for me to go. So if you're around Monday night after Raw, I will be here. Mondays, if you notice, the format on Mondays now is pretty much the same. Raw recap, ratings, some previews, history plug, done. Unless something major breaks in the next 24 hours. But that's, we keep it nice and simple to the point. And then Tuesday we got Money in the Bank predictions, which will be interesting. I know Kevin and I disagree on several matches on that card. So I got to start thinking about it because right now, you know, originally it was Damian Priest or LA Knight. Now it's Damian Priest, LA Knight, or Logan Paul. So definitely look forward to seeing you all during the week. And I'm out of here. My friends, it's been real. I'll catch you all again soon. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.